I feel like reading a verse or two of scripture, and I don't know why I've chosen the 44th chapter of Ecclesiastes in the Apocryphal Bible. I think it is so fitting. He says, "Let us now praise famous men and our fathers that beget us. The Lord hath wrought great glory by them through his great power from the beginning, such as did bear rule in their kingdoms, men renowned for their power, giving counsel by their understanding and declaring prophecies. All these were honored in their generation and were the glory of their times. There be of them that have left a name behind them, and their praises might be reported. But these were merciful men whose righteousness hath not been forgotten. With their seed shall continually remain good inheritance, and their children are within the covenant. Their bodies are buried in peace, and their names liveth forevermore. The people will tell of their wisdom, and the congregation will show forth their praise." One verse in the book of Revelations, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I think we can feel grateful to God because of his presence, and because of the fact we can feel deep down in our hearts that this saint that has passed away is precious in the sight of God. And I feel like that this family and this congregation, the people loved this dear man, and they shall always report his praise and his ability as a minister of the gospel. Before we pray, I want us to remember in this prayer this fine family, and especially this young son, that every minister throughout the Church of God movement, especially our ministers, have a certain debt to this little boy. All ministers of our church have a lot in common. And our children also have a lot in common. May we pray God's special leadership here. May God richly bless and comfort those hearts that are most bereaved. We shall never in our lifetime understand just why our people go, and especially why a minister and the pastor of a church should be called away at a time when he's so much needed and at the age when his ministry can be so effective. But God's will is done. I'm sure if our brother David could speak to us, he would say that his death was a benevolent act of God that moved him out of his suffering, out of his worries, out of his physical handicaps. The last time I visited this brother, he could hardly whisper. I know that the death angel sounded like it came from God, and God's will has been done. Will you bow your heads while we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come here this afternoon to pay our last due respects to our dear brother David. We're thankful for the fellowship and the relationship we've had together. We're thankful for the cooperation we've had in this community. We're thankful for this family, and we pray that thou be with them in this hour of bereavement. May this Shabbos soon pass, and may they feel the presence of God from this moment. Help them to feel the great hand of God. May they feel the Spirit of God. We pray to bless this church. Our hearts go out to thee for them. We realize they've lost a lot. This makes the second pastor they've lost in the last few years. We pray to bless their hearts. Bless these men, these women. Help them to become more Lord than ever before to the work that thou hast planted here. Bless the dear brother that shall speak to us. Grant, Lord, give him such words as we need to hear today. Thy name shall have the praise. Amen. Christian faith is life reaching beyond us to God. The Christian faith is life reaching beyond this time to another time. The Christian faith is life reaching beyond this earth, beyond the universe, into God's wondrous place, where Jesus has gone to prepare for us.
We've listened to this beautiful hymn, I Will Meet You in the Morning. This is a part of our faith. Someone has expressed so well this faith that we have of life that continues beyond this life. The author A.L. Frink saw a stone wall. Somehow or other, there had been a hole knocked into the wall. And the rose bush beside the wall kept stretching upward and outward and found sunlight coming through a hole in the wall. And the author describes this beautiful activity of the rose as meaning what happens to us as we reach out for the world beyond the enclosure in which we find ourselves today. Near shady wall a rose once grew, budded and blossomed in God's free light, watered and fed by morning dew, shedding its sweetness day and night. As it grew and blossomed, fair and tall, slowly rising to loftier height, it came to a crevice in the wall, through which there shone a beam of light. Onward it crept with added strength, with never a thought of fear or pride. It followed the light through the crevice length and unfolded itself on the other side. The light, the dew, the broadening view were found the same as they were before, and it lost itself in beauties new, breathing its fragrance more and more. Shall claim of death cause us to grieve and make our courage faint or fall? Nay, let us faith and hope receive. The rose still grows beyond the wall, scattering fragrance far and wide, just as it did in days of yore, just as it did on the other side, just as it will forevermore. May God use these words and thoughts to comfort the family in the memory of one who labored well, loved well, and believed well. In his name.
If I can hear you somewhere. It is because of the fact that our good brother Davy was able to help somebody along the way of life that I feel very deeply that his life was spared for all of us a good many more years than it would have been otherwise. He lived to help others, lived for others. If I were to give a subject to the few remarks that I have, I would call it Victory in Jesus. For this is really not a time of sadness, really. And truly, it's a time of joyful gladness and victory in Jesus' precious name through faith in the Word of God and in the plan of redemption. And I'm sure Brother Davy has read many times those words of Jesus which would speak to all of our hearts today. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. As I received the word of Brother Davy's passing on to God's great beyond, and I realized that I was to have this responsibility, and yet when I learned of this responsibility, I also counted it a glorious privilege there, because here was one who was a very trusted friend of mine across the last several years, and one who trusted me implicitly. For many of you know that it was when I was with him in revival that he discovered his leg was broken in a couple places, and I finished out the meeting, and he said, "Now, if anybody wants to talk to you, anybody, it doesn't matter really who," said, I trust you to just talk to anybody, and you carry on the meeting." And I thought of three scriptures came to my mind. One of them, the first one came to my mind, was 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness." The Revised Version renders that "suffering hardship with me." As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The second text that came to me was Revelation 14:13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And the third, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Let me speak briefly concerning my last text first. To these loved ones, this wife, these daughters, these sons, the grandchildren, and all the friends and relatives, we truly can thank God today and say, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for truly He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, and He is the one who comforted us in all of our tribulations, that we may be enabled thereby to comfort them which are in any trouble with the very comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God." The congregation in Little Rock, I'm sure, has heard me express this. If ever I felt like giving vent to my feelings in a joyful shout of praise and thanksgiving unto God, and it was not because I was off the rocker, so to speak, but it was back in 1962 when the funeral was being conducted for my wonderful Christian dad. One of the songs was, "How Great Thou Art." I realized the greatness of God and the greatness of the plan of redemption as I had never realized it up to that moment before, even though I'd been a minister for a number of years. Then again, this thrill and joy came when my youngest sister had victoriously maintained a strong and abiding faith in God through a long fight with cancer and was promoted to glory just this past Valentine's Day. She had made all the arrangements for the funeral ahead of time with her good pastor, Brother Schrock, and one song was, "I Am the Lord's." Another, "It Took a Miracle." And then, having thrilled to the song, "How Great Thou Art," when our father had been promoted to glory, she wanted the same song sung at her promotion. And so I speak quite comforted to each of you with the comfort wherewith I myself have been comforted of God. God is good. God looks down in love. He's very feelingly near here this afternoon. Let me speak briefly concerning my first text. Surely Brother Davy endured hardness or suffered hardship with Christ as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. His endurance has been a real thrilling inspiration to me, and I believe to all of us here today. Every Church of God minister in this state and many other states as far as that's concerned, and many laymen who have known him well, have been inspired by his courage to keep on keeping on in spite of all the difficulty, to keep preaching in spite of pain, to sing as it were through tears, and bring joy and thrill of heart to many hearts. If I can be a blessing, the song sang, was sung a while ago, well, he was a tremendous blessing, and that kept him alive. I was with him, as I mentioned, when visiting in the local hospital, and this severe pain hit him, and they discovered his leg was broken in two places. I know how nobly and courageously he took it, and on top of all the other pain and all the other heartache, the endurance of hardship and suffering since his fall in March, I understand, is almost beyond the imagining of even the physicians. Thank God that he has had victory in Jesus Christ all along the way. I know something of the courage that this man of God had to stand for what he felt was right, and I admire him greatly for that. I know something of his courage to work on when all of the odds seemed all against him, how he could smile through tears, as it were. Well, I've been encouraged personally by letters of appreciation of work that I was attempting to do for God when there were but few who were appreciating it. I think of one letter in particular that was written in the wee hours of the morning when he could not sleep for pain, yet endured the pain and got up and typed a letter of thanks and appreciation for the little that I was trying to do. I kidded him later about it, said I was going to frame it. I think I really will one of these days. If you want to find out about a man, you follow that man as pastor. Well, that's what I'm doing now. I am standing on holy ground, as it were, in Sydney when I preached there, because this man pastored there for several years. Nearly all the people in Sydney who knew him well sing his praises for the almost ceaseless labor of love that he gave to the work there. After hearing of some of the things he did in Sydney, I thought many times that he had just really overworked himself for the building up of the kingdom of God. I hope that I shall be able to have the people think as much of me when I have left Sydney. I understand that even before death, he had made arrangements and wanted something to take place that would help to further the cause of science. And autopsy has been performed. We thank God for that. In fact, I could go on and on telling you of the courage and devotion of this man, because I don't suppose there has been anyone to whom Brother Davy has more confided than he has in me about a lot of his highest joys and deepest concerns. But Brother Davy would not have me to do so. He would much prefer that I magnify the grace of God wrought in his heart. He surely must have sung many times, or said so in many words, "Yielded to thee, my Savior, take all my heart, I pray. Where you may lead, I'll follow. Gladly, I will obey." And he thrilled when he learned that his children were following along that same line and had hopes of going to the mission field and home missions and foreign missions and that sort of thing. Today is not a day of tragedy, it's a day of triumph, a great triumph of faith. On January the 8th, 1956, the Alca Indians, you recall, killed five missionaries for Christ in Ecuador. On January the 13th, they found their pierced and mutilated bodies in the river. These missionaries of the Lord Jesus Christ, lovely, pleasant, and almost inseparable in life, were not divided in death. How fitting now the verse of the hymn they had chosen as their very own. "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, thine shall be the praises. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors, we rest with thee through endless days." My second text I would like to use last, Revelation 14:13, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Brother Davy has died in the Lord. Brother Davy is now resting from his labors and from his pain and from all the suffering that he endured. He has passed through the gates of pearly splendor, but his works do follow him. And certainly it is an appropriate time to remind ourselves, and in a very real way we can help in extending on and making sure that his works do follow him. I'm sure the members of the family know that well, and they will keep that in mind out in the days ahead, because as their faith is strong in God and they lead out into fields for God, they will be carrying on this work that's following after this man of God. If there are some of you here this afternoon for whom he has prayed and worked with and longed for your salvation, and you're not saved as yet, you can get saved and live for God with all of your heart and soul. Each of those here in the congregation can help to build a strong church and cause his labor to live on. Each of us can rededicate our lives in this day in a greater way. This is victory in Jesus for Brother David. This can be also victory in Jesus for all of us. Surely Brother Davy would say in the words of Tennyson, "Sunset and evening star and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning at the bar when I put out to sea." Another verse ends with this, "And there may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark." And the last verse says, For though from out of bourne of time and place the flood may bear me far, I hope to see my pilot face to face when I have crossed the bar." And may I say to each one of you, as well as to myself, in closing, in poetic words also, 'twill not be long, but while we're watching, waiting, we'll carry on with unslackened pace. So labor on, be found a faithful servant. The crowning day is drawing nigh. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for thy presence here today. We're thankful, Lord, for victory in Jesus. We're thankful this life that has been lived, May you help us, Lord, that we might dedicate ourselves anew and afresh, that we might be able to follow on and cause his works to follow after him in greater measure than ever before. Blessed Lord, we pray in the closing activities, Lord, of this day, and in the graveside service, go with us all along the way and make your presence very rich and real. And, O Spirit of the living God, may you comfort and bless each one of these, this dear companion, each one of these daughters, these two sons. Bless all the grandchildren, all the relatives and friends, and help each of us that we might lean heavily upon you, realizing you've told us to cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This time, the entire congregation and all the friends are dismissed from the service. The relatives alone will remain.